All right, welcome back to the Biased Opinion Podcast. Big episode coming today. NFL 2023-24 season preview. So, let's get right into it. PJ, get us going here.
So just some general thoughts before we go through each division and our division winners and some futures, whether it's coaching futures or player futures. But just the general landscape of the league, the AFC is way more stacked than NFC when I was looking, previewing the season. I don't know if there's anything Roger Goodell could have done about this, but like all of the best quarterbacks in the league are in the AFC. And the NFC, like their best, they have Jalen Hurts, I guess, would be an elite quarterback, but then the rest of their teams are just kind of good teams. They're not really led by great quarterbacks. So I don't know. I think, I don't know how good it is for the league for all the best quarterbacks and all the best teams to be in the AFC. And look at the quarterbacks drafted this year. Two quarterbacks were in the AFC South. He had Trevor Lawrence and then like Joe Burrow and Justin Herbert, kind of young quarterbacks in the last few drafts. So it doesn't seem to be changing anytime soon. So I don't know. That's kind of my opening take on the NFL is the AFC is way more loaded than the NFC. And to get to the Super Bowl out of the AFC is going to be a lot harder than in the NFC.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. When I was going through it, I was actually kind of looking, comparing the NFC and the AFC. And if you take away the Eagles, I think I have seven AFC teams that I think are probably better than the next best NFC team, which I have as the Cowboys and then the 49ers. The NFC, I mean, there's a semi good chance that Brock Purdy's the quarterback that makes it out of the NFC, or Dak Prescott, one of those two. And the other guys after them that are likely to make it out, if not Jalen Hurts and the Eagles, it's like Kirk Cousins, Jared Goff. It's pretty ugly. So, the NFC that conference is, there needs to be an influx of quarterback talent, which maybe the next draft can give them, but not a lot of good QBs out there.
So I guess starting with the AFC East, I'm going to go a little chalk at the beginning and say the Buffalo Bills are going to win the division. Obviously, the Jets made a big move getting Aaron Rodgers over the offseason. Their defense was really good last year. They won a ton of games with bad quarterback play last year, so you think that Aaron Rodgers would make a difference to their team, but he didn't have a great season last year, and I don't know. It's just the Jets, so I kind of just think that they're going to mess it up along the way. I think their schedule is pretty difficult, at least to start. So Rodgers doesn't have a lot of time to get used to his new teammates. The Bills, a lot of people kind of think they're on the decline. I kind of do as well, but if you have a quarterback like Josh Allen, and their problem really hasn't been the regular season over the last few years, it's been the playoffs where they've ran into some difficulties. So I'm going to go with the Bills to win the division, win a lot of games in the regular season again. And as for the Dolphins, I don't really think they have much of a hope, even – people say if Tua gets healthy, but last year when he was healthy, he was pretty bad. So I don't want to rip on him, but last year he was not very good. And I think some regression's coming from the Dolphins. And then for the Patriots, I guess it's just a question of how many games can Bill Belichick win you. But I don't know. I think this year the Patriots defense, it should be pretty good, but their stats over the last few years has been definitely inflated with Zach Wilson throwing them the ball two games a year. So I don't know how good the Patriots defense is going to be this year. And I think their defense just gets a little overhyped just compared to its bad offense. I mean, there's not a whole lot of playmakers around Mac Jones. And I think Mac is okay, but the offensive line really can't protect him. So offensive line not looking great in the preseason. Not a lot of weapons for the Patriots, but their over-under is like 7.5 this year. You'd think that Bill Belichick can win more than seven games, but the schedule looks pretty tough. And then outside of like a few home games against rookie quarterbacks or like the – Commanders, I'm not seeing like too many games for the Patriots where you can definitely pencil in a win, but I think they'll be okay in the division, maybe like 3-3 or 2-4, but they'll be fighting for seventh spot in the playoffs, I think, again this year. I don't think they'll make the playoffs. Probably I think they'll go over the seven wins, but I can't say that with much conviction. But I'm gonna go with the Bills to win the AFC East, and just because I just don't know what I'm getting out of the New York Jets. They probably have more high-end talent or a higher ceiling, but definitely a much lower floor than the Bills. So I'm going to go with the safe pick to start.
Yeah, so I have the Jets winning the division. I got the Bills coming in second. I have Pats in third, Dolphins in fourth. And I have I actually have all top three teams making playoffs out of the AFC East. Probably biased, but I do have the Patriots completely crushing that win total of 7.5. I have them winning probably 10 games, if not 11. I don't think their schedule is all that difficult comparatively to – I mean, I think the team is better than they're getting credit for. I think they're at bare minimum 500 football team. As bad as Mac Jones was last year, I think it's one of those things where, like, I don't really see it getting worse, and he finally has a real offensive coordinator now. I guess the weapons might have been upgraded with Juju and Gesicki, I guess. Maybe nothing major there, but Kendrick Bourne kind of playing a role in the offense again, whereas he was phased out last year by Patricia. And then I think the rookies, DeMario Douglas and Kayshon Boutte, late-round picks. I believe they were picked 5th and 6th round, if not both in the 6th round. But they were studs in the preseason. They were studs in camp. And I do think there's a path for both of them to earn a role on this offense and become playmakers and make things a little easier for Mac. And then I think the running game is probably not the best in the division, the 2nd best. But the Jets' O-line is shaky. Not like the Pats has looked all that great, but the Pats have been kind of banged up. They've been the 2nd team offensive line for the most part. We haven't really seen the 1st team offensive line. So I think the run game between Ramondre and Zeke will be productive. And I think the defense is top notch in the league. Probably I'd put them easily a top 5 defense in the NFL this year. I think Judon will have a big year again. So yeah, I like the Pats to probably win 10 games. Biased, but I think the 7.5 is a bit ridiculous. I know the division's tough, but I don't think the Dolphins are all that good. And then I guess Jets over Bills for me. I think it'll be close. But with Aaron Rodgers coming to town, I think already without playing a regular season snap is the greatest quarterback in Jets history. And I don't think that's a hot take either. Last year, Rodgers down year for sure, and he's up there in age now. I think he's 40. But his wide receivers were Romeo Doubs and Christian Watson. Who I am a firm believer is probably the worst 1 and 2 wide receiver duo in the league last year. If not the worst, it's probably bottom 5. I don't really believe in either of those guys. And he made Christian Watson look like a legit good young wide receiver when I really don't think he's all that. The guy dropped probably like 4 touchdowns and 500 yards worth of passes, despite Aaron Rodgers throwing him some nice balls. And I'm not a big Aaron Rodgers fan. Never really have been. I think he's a massive playoff choker. I don't think he's a great teammate. But with the Jets, the teammate locker room side of things seems to have turned a corner. It seems like everyone in the room there loves him. He did bring in a lot of his boys, but it seems like the locker room has kind of rallied around his arrival a bit and changed the culture and changed the vibes there already. And then as much of a playoff choker as he is, I think people forget that he is one of the greatest regular season quarterbacks of all time. Easily. I mean, the guy was strung together probably, 12 of the greatest regular seasons we've ever seen out of a QB. And he's 2 years away from being considered maybe the 2nd best quarterback in the league. So I think this one down year where he was kind of checked out of Green Bay, his wide receiver core was 2 pretty bad rookies. I think I'm not really taking that one into account. It kind of reminded me of Tom Brady in 2018, where people thought he was toast and people thought he was finished. And then he goes to the Bucs and wins the Super Bowl. And I'm not saying Rodgers is going to win Super Bowl, still a choke artist, but I do think he is going to cook on the Jets. I'm a big fan of Garrett Wilson's game too. So I like the Jets to win the division, closely followed by the Bills, closely followed by the Pats. And then I have the Dolphins lagging behind. I just think the Tua, Mike McDaniel, gimmicky type of offense, pretty much relying on Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle to turn a slant into an 80-yard gain and get open on every single play. Like, at some point, defenses are going to find a way to maybe not shut down Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle, but contain them a bit to the point where the Dolphins aren't winning a ton of football games in this division. I think I'll have Jets 1, Bills 2, Pats 3, distant 4th Dolphins, but I do think the top 3 teams are making playoffs.
Yeah, just for the Jets, I mean, their first six games, home against the Bills at Dallas, home against the Patriots, home against the Chiefs at Denver, and then home against the Eagles. You don't have any question marks over the first six games? You think they'll be able to start the season fine?
I do. I think the excitement around Rodgers is going to – it's kind of like a new coach, new manager boost. You got the new QB boost there. I just think the vibes are high in New York. And also, I guess, counterpoint to that, why, a little bit why I'm fading the Bills. Their end of season is a complete gauntlet at the Bengals November 5th. Then they get Aaron Rodgers at home, but November 19th, Aaron Rodgers at home, at the Eagles, at the Chiefs, at against the Cowboys at home in consecutive weeks, at the Chargers, home against the Pats, and then on the road against the Dolphins in the last week of the season. I think they're probably going to be – I think they'll win several games in that stretch, but Eagles, Chiefs, Cowboys, Chargers, all that back-to-back is Bengals. Bet the Bengals, Eagles, and Chiefs is on the road. I mean, that might be the three best teams in the NFL, not including the Bills. So I just think the Bills will kind of be limping to the finish a little bit. Also, the opening game on Monday night against the Jets, Von Miller's out. And I think this Bills defense has kind of regressed in the last few years. And I think without Von Miller, who I still think is an elite player and kind of gets underrated at this point in his career, just because he's on the older side and he's not as dominant as he once was, but he's still a good player. Without Von Miller in New York, Aaron Rodgers' first game, Monday Night Football, I'd like the Jets to win that one. I think the Jets are going to start strong, and I think they're going to finish. I just think they're going to have a good season all the way through, and I think it's going to crash and burn in the playoffs when push comes to shove for Aaron Rodgers. But regular season, I think he'll be stat padding. I think he'll win a lot of football games, and I think the vibes will be very high in New York, at least until mid-January.
All right, I guess we'll see what happens. Moving on to the AFC North, I'm going to go a little bit off the board and say that the Pittsburgh Steelers are going to win the division. I believe in Coach Tomlin. I think Kenny Pickett is going to take a big leap in year two. I'm also a big believer in the Steelers' defense. If T.J. Watt can stay healthy, that the probably whole season relies on whether or not T.J. Watt stays healthy. If he gets hurt, he did last year, then it's really hard to replace his production on the defensive line. As for the other teams, the Browns are still kind of the Browns to me. I need to see a year of Deshaun Watson before I predict the Browns to do anything noteworthy. The Ravens, they're supposed to be airing out the football more this year with Lamar Jackson. I'm not exactly convinced that he can do it, and I'm not sure that they have the wide receivers that are going to be able to play this air raid style of football. I did see one Twitter clip of preseason of Zay Flowers online, and he did look like Tyreek Hill in the preseason, so we'll see if that translates to the regular season. Maybe they got a good wide receiver there in Zay Flowers. And then as for the Bengals, I'm a little worried about Joe Burrow's health, at least to start the season. I think they'll definitely make the playoffs, but in terms of winning the division, I think last year they started 0-2 with a little Super Bowl hangover, and their loss last year, I think it was in the AFC Championship game, was probably just as devastating as their Super Bowl loss. So I think this year they might have a little lull to start the season. I think last year they were 2-3 and then 4-4 after 8 weeks. So I'm going to say that they did finish strong. They won 8 in a row? Eight in a row last year to win the division. But I think this year they're not going to be able to overcome their lackluster start. And I'm going to say that the Steelers have been building a good team for a while. They have a good defense, and I like their offense. And I think Kenny Pickett is going to win a lot of games for them. And then as for the Steelers, I think their hardest games are actually in the division. I don't think their out-of-division games are all that difficult, this division in general. I think their toughest games will be in the division. So this year the Steelers play the NFC West, and their first game this year will be against the San Francisco 49ers. So we'll see how well the Steelers are right away, and the next game is against the Browns in week two. So Steelers at home on Monday Night Football. So if they can get off to a hot start, I think the Steelers are going to have a good year, and I think their schedule really opens up outside of these divisional games, which in the AFC North are always pretty close and pretty hard to win road division games in the AFC North. So I'm going to go with the Steelers. I think they'll go 11-6, and yeah, a little bit off the board, but I think they'll have a good team this year.
Yeah, I think we have pretty opposite opinions in this division. I have the Bengals winning the division and finishing as the number one overall seed in the AFC. I just think Burrow might be, I mean, I guess he has to be healthy the first week of the season, which it kind of looks like it. That's going to be the case, at least following on Twitter. But it's kind of a last for this offense, at least with him, Jamar Chase and T. Higgins. I think this might be the kind of the last year of those three kind of being a trio in Cincinnati. And I don't know. I just think the stat pad might be on there for Joe Burrow. And maybe this is his year. I have them with a 15-2 record. Might be a little ambitious, but I have them winning the division. And then they also – they signed Orlando Brown, who played on the Chiefs and the Ravens when they were both extremely productive offenses in the past. He's pretty highly touted left tackle. I think he's a bit of a head case. That's probably why he's not lasted long in either place. But both in Baltimore and Kansas City when he was a starting tackle, they had a lot of success. So I like that pickup, keep Burrow protected and keep him upright. And then on defense, they have Trey Hendrickson, and they drafted a Clemson edge rusher, Miles Murphy, in the first round. So I think the pass rush will be better. I do think they lost a couple guys in the secondary, but Eli Apple I don't think is all that much of a key loss. It might be addition by subtraction there, and maybe help the locker room vibes a bit without that guy in the room. So, yeah, I like what the Bengals are doing. I like the Bengals to be the one seed. I'm not going to fade Joe Burrow. Number two seed, I have the Ravens. You kind of talked about already with the air raid offense, the Todd Monken high, fast-paced, high-flying offense, college style, whatever they're bringing in here. I think that's going to be a super successful formula for the first until pretty much Thanksgiving, and then I think it's going to all come crashing and burning. I had them going 11-6. I'm pretty sure I have them going starting the season 10-1 and then finishing 1-5. And I think they might crash and burn, miss playoffs by a half game or something. And I can just see this air raid offense going so perfectly. Lamar throwing it out to Zay Flowers, who, like you said, looks like Tyreek Hill. Odell, who I'm a huge fan of. Rashad Bateman, who I was a huge fan of in college. Maybe he breaks out as the number three wide receiver. You have Mark Andrews, who's been a pro bowler for the last three whatever years. I think it's going to go really successful. Just kind of like the last time the Ravens introduced a new offense, it kind of took the lead by storm and then slowly kind of got figured out, started to regress a little bit. Similar thing I think is going to happen. I think Lamar is going to completely slice people up for the first few weeks, and then I think it's going to start to regress a little bit. I think cold weather, I'm not sure air raid is going to succeed, especially in this division. A lot of, you know, hard-nosed, experienced teams and franchises and some cold, intimidating road games you got to go play. So, I think it comes crashing and burning for the Ravens, but I think they start hot enough to finish second. And then Browns and Steelers, I kind of have just as 500, slightly below 500 teams. I have Browns third, Steelers fourth, but I think Deshaun Watson's an elite level quarterback when he's on, and so that's why I put the Browns, but I don't really like their roster. I think Amari Cooper kind of had a fluke year last year, and I'm probably expecting him to regress back to what he's been throughout his whole career, which has been kind of overrated and not really a true number one wide receiver. And then the Steelers, I just can't buy into that offense. Kenny Pickett, I don't know if he has it. I know that he has some magic to his game, but I think when it comes down to playing quarterback, I don't think he's all that special, especially compared to the other three quarterbacks in this division. I think they're all far superior talents than him. At running back, Najee Harris, all the talent in the world, plays like he's LeSean McCoy when he's built like Brandon Jacobs. It doesn't make any sense to me, and it drives me nuts watching because I was a big fan of his in college, and he really has the talent to do anything, and he could easily be a 2,000-yard player, I think. He's a great pass catcher, huge, good runner, but he just – I don't know. He plays soft, and he doesn't really play to his size. So, and then wide receiver, George Pickens, one-trick pony, running a straight line, go for a jump ball. It's pretty much all he has to his game. Don't love that. I think he's pretty overhyped. And then opposite him, Deontay Johnson, maybe the worst hands in the league, maybe the most inefficient wide receiver in football. All he really does is just catch these six-yard slants, run backward 2 yards, maybe fumble, drop the pass, fall over. I'm not buying into this offense. The defense will be good for sure probably with TJ Watt, but I don't know who's in the secondary, and I don't know. I'm fading the Steelers this year. 500 team as usual, but not as per usual, but I don't think they're going to be awful. I just don't think they're going to be a playoff team, and nothing spectacular there for me. That offense, I can't buy into it. I think a lot of flawed players on that team, and I don't know. Nobody really stands out to me as a playmaker around Kenny Pickett, who I also don't think is all that great.
Kenny Pickett went 13 for 15 for 199 yards, 2 touchdowns, 0 interceptions, perfect 158.3 quarterback rating in the preseason, leading the Steelers to 5 touchdowns on 5 drives in the preseason.
I mean, I don't care about the preseason.
We just talked up Kayshon Booty and DeMario Douglas as breaking out for Pat's weapons on a.
They're 6-round rookies compared to a first-round quarterback in his second season. I mean, come on.
I guess. I mean, I think the Steelers, in order to make some playoff noise, definitely need to host a playoff game. I agree. I don't think Kenny Pickett can, like, win road playoff games against some of these elite quarterbacks in the AFC. So, if the Steelers are going to win any games in the playoffs, they're probably going to have to go, like, 13-4 and 14-3 and play 2 home playoff games in 15-degree weather at home. So, that's probably their only path to postseason success. So, I don't think that's going to happen. They'll probably go 11-6, maybe to win the division, go be a 3 or 4, 3 or 3 seed probably. Moving on to the next division, AFC South. I don't think there's a whole lot to talk about here. I'm going to go with the Jags to win the division. I will say last year they did win the division by beating like the Tennessee Titans' fifth string quarterback in like a fluke game, and Trevor Lawrence didn't even play that well. So the Titans, with any decent quarterback play, would have won the division last year. So I wonder if like the narrative would have changed a little bit this year, and if the Jags would have been as heavy a favorite, so they didn't win it last year. I think this division would be most interesting to keep an eye on the rookie quarterbacks. CJ Stroud, I mean, I don't think he's going to be in a tough situation this year. The Texans don't really have a whole lot around him. And then Anthony Richardson, looks like the Colts are kind of throwing him right into the fire. Going back to the preseason, doesn't look great. I mean, he's kind of – some scrambles look good, but he's completing like 44% of his passes. They also have, like, a rookie head coach. So I'm going to go – I think their win total is, like, 6.5 or something. I'm going way under that, and I don't think the Colts are going to be very good this year. Anthony Richardson might be good in the future, but as for this year, I hope he doesn't get ruined. And I guess they don't really have – I guess Gardner Minshew could start, but I guess you might as well see what you got in Anthony Richardson right now, but I hope it doesn't ruin him in the future. But yeah, I don't have – and the whole Jonathan Taylor thing, I don't really follow it as much as – I'd say most NFL fans, doesn't really interest me that much. Not this trade talk. Is he getting traded? Is he not getting traded? When's he showing up? Is he hurt? Is he not hurt? Doesn't really interest me. I'm not going to be watching the Colts run the football in week 7 when they're 2-5. So I don't really care who the Colts running back is, but there's still, that can't be good for team chemistry in the locker room. So it's got to be a lot of distractions in that locker room. New head coach probably doesn't have much experience handling those types of situations. Rookie quarterback definitely doesn't have much experience in the NFL. So I'm going to go with the Jags to win the division, but just because they have the best quarterback in the division, Trevor Lawrence, and an up-and-coming roster. But I wouldn't be surprised at the Titans, because I do think Mike Vrabel is a good coach and can win them a lot of games. And if I think the Titans are probably more likely to go 4-0 against the Colts and the Texans, and the Jags will. The Jags might be a little more inconsistent, but I'll go with the Jags to win the division, but maybe the Titans keep it interesting until the end.
Yeah, I also have the Jags winning the division. Kind of same thing as you. I just think they have the best QB. And I saw a couple people comparing the Trevor Lawrence adding Calvin Ridley to Jalen Hurts, adding A.J. Brown, Josh Allen adding Stephon Diggs in years past. I think it's a little different. I don't think Calvin Ridley is the level of player as Diggs and A.J. Brown is. And he hasn't played football in like 2 years. But I do think he's a good wide receiver. And I think Lawrence in year 3, which really kind of year 2.5 for him, the first year was such a throwaway with Urban Meyer. So I think Trevor takes a jump, and I think he's far and away the best QB in this division. So I think he kind of cruises to a division title. I do have the Titans coming in second, but not as close as you have them. I don't love the Titans spending kind of a team that you think is, at least it seems like it is supposed to be competing the last few years, which they have been. But the last 2 years, they've spent some pretty high-value draft picks on quarterbacks. Two quarterbacks who I don't think are very good, by the way. And neither of them are going to see the field this year, more likely, unless Tannehill goes down. And I don't love that from them as a team that's supposed to be contending. I understand you have to plan for the future, and Tannehill is not elite or irreplaceable by any means, and he's getting up there in age. But to waste I guess you can't say waste just yet, but to spend a pick on Malik Willis, who is, when he was drafted even, it was like this guy's several years out from being an impact NFL quarterback. And then a year later doing the exact same thing on Will Levis, a guy who I think is not a very good quarterback and is also several years out from becoming an impact NFL QB. I don't know. It gives me some bad vibes around this team. Derrick Henry's 30 and has had some injury issues in the past couple of years. I don't know. I don't see the Titans really being any better than a slightly better than 500 team, and that's only based off their pretty easy schedule outside of games against the Jags. So, I have the Titans at 9-8 in second, distant second place to the Jags. I think we'll have a good year. And then third, I have the Colts. Not a whole lot to add on the Colts. The Jonathan Taylor situation is pretty – I don't know. I think Taylor's agent's not exactly the greatest agent in the world, and I think the Colts GM's not the greatest GM in the world. So we'll see what happens there, but I don't know if we'll have much of an impact on them wise. And then I have the Texans. I think the Texans will be the worst team in football this year. I have them at 1-16, but I wanted to put them at 0-17, to be completely honest with you. I think – trading their pick this year for the second overall pick was one of the I hate that move. I hate it. And maybe they proved me wrong. Knowing Caleb Williams is in the draft this season, I've already said on this podcast several times that I'm not a big CJ Stroud fan. He's going to be under center for them. I think their wide receiver one is Tank Dell, who's like 5'5", rookie, third-round pick. And they might have Robert Woods' corpse running out there and something called Nico Collins as their pass-catching targets. So the defense is terrible. I don't know who's even coaching the team. I'm not a big Texans fan. I don't love the trade up to trading their pick to the Cardinals. I think the Cardinals probably end up with the first two picks next season. And they get Caleb and Marvin Harrison Jr. and they completely play the Houston Texans, who – I don't know. I think they blew it. So, yeah, Texans, worst team in football. I think 0-17 is on the table. That's my pick.
Yeah, I don't completely disagree with that. On to the AFC West. I'll just go with the Kansas City Chiefs to win the division. I don't think there'll be much of a Super Bowl hangover. I think, for me, the most interesting team in the division will be how the Denver Broncos fare. Obviously, last year they went out and got Russell Wilson, and it completely backfired on them. But last year, their defense was really good, so if they could just get some type of improvement from Russell Wilson, they also got Sean Payton as their new head coach. So I think the Broncos will be better this year, and I'm going to predict the Broncos to make the playoffs along with the Chiefs and the Chargers in this division. I think Russ takes a step up from last season. I think their defense will continue at a similar level, and I think the altitude will be a tough place to play this year. And I think the Raiders will be in contention for a top five pick this year. They won't be Texans or Cardinals bad, but I have the Raiders going way under their 6.5 win total. And I think Josh McDaniels will be the first coach to be fired. I don't even think Tom Brady's minority owner will be able to save him. I think the Raiders have significantly gotten worse at quarterback, going from Derek Carr to Jimmy Garoppolo. And Jimmy Garoppolo will probably get hurt pretty early on in the season as well. We'll see how many games Josh Jacobs decides to play before he fakes an injury and holds out. And that's something this team has been drafting very well over the last few years. And I think they're going to really miss Derek Carr. So I'm going to go with the Raiders coming last. And I think I'll give them the third or fourth overall pick behind the Texans, who are in the Cardinals. So, yeah, I'll go with the Kansas City Chiefs to win the division. I think Russ will have a little bit of a resurgence this year for the Broncos with Sean Payton. And the Raiders are going to be one of the worst teams in the NFL.
Yeah, I'm going to have to disagree with you on this division. I do have the Chiefs winning, and I have Chargers coming in second. Although, I think the Chargers are supremely – I think they're a very, very talented football team. I'm not a big fan of their head coach, Brandon Staley. I think this is probably his last year, and if they don't get it done, I think he's done at the end of the season. Way too reliant on his calculator. The Twitter nerds love him way too much. It drives me nuts. his whole thing was that he went for it on fourth down and went for two and all that, and then he abandoned it the second it didn't work in one game on national television, and people made fun of him, and he just completely abandoned that philosophy that made him allegedly special head coach in the first place. So I think he's a bit of a fraud, and I don't think he's all that great of a football coach. His defensive philosophy also, where he just lets teams run all over him, it clearly doesn't work. In December, it hasn't for his entire tenure. So, I'm not a big Brandon Staley fan, and I think he'll hold that team back once again until they get rid of him. But they did fire their offensive coordinator, which I like, Joe Lombardi. He, big screen pass guy, which was great. They had Austin Eckler, who obviously feasted the last few years and had some great seasons. But I think now that you got to play to Herbert. You have Justin Herbert, who objectively is a super talented quarterback, really great arm. And they don't really play to his strengths in the past. There's a lot of check down stuff, a lot of underneath stuff to Keenan Allen, and check downs and screen passes and whatever to Austin Eckler. So I like that they drafted Quentin Johnston in the first round, and I like that they got a new offensive coordinator in Kellen Moore, who's probably going to play to Justin Herbert's strengths a little bit and push the ball downfield. So I think Herbert will have a big season numbers-wise at the very least. And I think they'll have some high-scoring games because Brandon Staley's defense kind of stinks despite having a ton of talent. So, yeah, I like the Chargers to stat pad this year and win a decent amount of games, make playoffs. But I don't think they're threatening the Chiefs at all for the division. I have the Raiders in third, and I think the Raiders are going to surprise some people. I think they do have a really tough schedule, but I'm of the belief that they upgraded at QB this offseason. Jimmy Garoppolo has a 71% win percentage all time, I believe, which I have an all time list. Sorry, let me pull it up. Of leaders, but that's like in the top five all time. Jimmy G, his win percentage is up there with Joe Montana, Roger Staubach, and Tom Brady and Peyton Manning. So that's right in between those guys. So he wins football games. Derek Carr never did that. And I understand the argument, maybe, that he's not going to stay healthy this year. But Aiden O'Connell, rookie QB out of Purdue, correct me if I'm wrong there, has been just as much of a preseason all-pro as your boy Kenny Pickett. And I'm sure he'll be ready to go when he steps in, especially with the guidance of new minority owner Tom Brady. So I love that Tom Brady's in the building. Love that he's in the locker room talking to the guys. Love that he's back mentoring Jimmy G, just like the good old days back in Foxborough. And I love that he's mentoring the young gun in Aiden O'Connell. So, yeah, I think the Raiders, I think things are looking up for Las Vegas, and I think they're going to win a decent amount of football games, and I think they're at a bare minimum. I'll give them 8-9, but I think they're going to go north of that. I think they could even threaten a couple AFC East and a couple AFC North teams for a wild card spot. And then in a distant last place, I have the Denver Broncos. The Sean Payton hire, a lot of hype around that. But I've said it in the past, and I'll keep saying it. I've never believed in Russell Wilson as a player. I think he's massively overrated, and I think the Let Russ Cook thing was pretty clearly, as soon as he left there in every single December, it kind of became pretty clear that the receivers were doing the cooking, and he was kind of just lobbing up mediocre deep balls and taking way too much time in the pocket and taking dumb, bad sacks and losing yards on bad scrambles and not being a great leader in the locker room, bit of a cornball, similar to Derek Carr, who I just said I'm not a big fan of. I just don't think Russ is that guy, and I don't really care who your head coach is. If your quarterback is not that guy, I don't really think you're going to win a lot of football games unless your team is stacked, which the Broncos aren't. And there was a myth, I think, going into last season that this wide receiver room was, like, really good. Jerry Jeudy, mediocre at best. He had a good end to last season when the team kind of stopped caring and they're just chucking up balls and down big in games. And I don't know. I'm not a big Jerry Jeudy believer. I don't think he's a real number one wide receiver, even close to elite at all. Cortland Sutton, similar thing. That guy had one semi-good season like 5 years ago, got hurt, has never been the same. He doesn't do it for me. The rest of their guys are hurt, I think. Marvin Mims is the rookie. Another deep threat, but Like, he's not on the DK Metcalf, Tyler Lockett level, and I have no reason to believe that he is. He was fine at Oklahoma, but he wasn't exactly lighting the world on fire. And the running back room, Javonte Williams coming off a really bad knee injury. Samaje Perine is Samaje Perine, probably the most boring running back in the league right now, I'd argue. I don't see that guy ever breaking a 10-yard run. The tight ends, Greg Dulich is now a backup to some guy named Trotman that Sean Payton brought in. So, yeah, I don't really see Sean Payton saving this team in year one at least. I think they stink again. I think they draft a QB next year, and I think Russ is done in Denver. So, yeah, I'm heavy fading the Broncos again, and I'm pretty confident in doing that. And I think the Sean Payton hype and all the noise around it has not done them any favors, because – it's almost like it's not like they didn't learn from last year, where it was all hype, all talk, all offseason about how great they were going to be, and it just crashed and burned. I think it's going to be similar. I don't know. Drew Brees isn't walking through that door. Russell Wilson, not that guy. And I'm willing to die on that hill. Last place, Denver Broncos.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, the Broncos last year, their coaching staff definitely held them back, and last year they lost games where they gave up 17, 12, 19, 16, 17, 10, and if you want to throw in 22 and 23 points. So I don't think it's going to take a whole lot to get some of these losses into wins. They just have to score like one more touchdown, and they'd have turned like seven of these losses into wins.
Yeah, I mean, that's a fair – the defense the defense is good, I guess. I don't know. I can't buy into this team, especially in a division with Mahomes and Justin Herbert. I genuinely believe the Raiders are going to be a better team this season. I think Jimmy G, Davante Adams, Josh Jacobs, Jacoby Myers, Baby Gronk is a better offense than Russ and three mediocre wide receivers and an injured running back. I don't know. I'm not buying it. Sean Payton is not – I mean, Sean Payton, it's not like this guy was Bill Belichick with six rings rolling in here. He'd won Super Bowl like 15 years ago. And other than that, it's kind of been stat padding offenses coming up short in the playoffs or having a mediocre team, to be honest with you. Yeah, I don't think Sean Payton is a miracle worker like people claim he is, just because he made a short QB work 15 years ago that was – a far better quarterback than Russell Wilson, in my opinion. Drew Brees didn't take bad sacks. Russell Wilson takes bad sacks like nobody else I've ever seen before.
All right. I guess we'll have to leave it there. Moving on to the NFC East. I'm going to go with the Dallas Cowboys in the division just based off the fact that no one's repeated in this division since like 2003. So I have the Eagles going further in the playoffs, which I'll get to. And they're definitely – stacked team, but the Cowboys, their problem really hasn't been the regular season over the last few years. It's been in the playoffs. Same with Dak. I'm not the biggest Dak fan, but I think over 17 games, you can do a lot worse at quarterback than Dak. So I'm going to go with the Cowboys. I think their roster is pretty loaded from top to bottom. And just by default, I can't pick the Eagles because they won it last year. And I don't really know what I'm getting out of the Commanders. I'm not exactly sure I'm a big fan of the strategy of starting Sam Howell. Yeah, I don't know how year after year after year there's NFL drafts and you end up with Sam Howell, but I guess I've seen some tweets about Sam Howell. He's doing pretty good, so we'll have to see how he works out. I know he had a good last week of the season, maybe like week 18 or something against the Cowboys backups, but yeah, I'm not exactly a big fan of starting Sam Howell, and he's probably just good enough so that they don't have like a top five pick and they miss out on all the best quarterbacks next year. So that's probably not exactly the best long-term strategy. I'm not even sure if they'll be in like Bo Nix range, and they'll be like a Bo Nix Sam Howell QB battle next year, which would be pretty bad. So yeah, I'm not exactly sure the Commanders' direction. They're kind of just like a worse version of like the modern Patriots and Steelers, I guess, finishing 7-10 each year, but not bad enough to really get any high picks and impact talent that'll help them for the future. Giants. Vegas is low on the Giants this year. Their win total is 7.5. I think they won like 10 games last year. Their new coach was really good last year, and Daniel Jones had a big step up, signed a big contract. So I don't really know where the Giants' regression is coming from. So I'll say that I'll say they come in third, but I think the Giants will make the playoffs this year. I don't think they'll be as bad as Vegas, and I'll have them go over the 7.5. And I think the Cowboys will win the division, but the Eagles will go the furthest when it's all said and done.
Yeah, I have the Cowboys winning the division. I guess for me, I'm not fading the Eagles. I think both of those teams are going to be super close at the top. But the Eagles lost, I think, four defensive starters from the Super Bowl last year. I will say they have drafted a ton of they've had some really good draft picks they've had some high draft picks over the last couple of years through some good trades and stuff. So they were able to kind of replenish what they've lost, at least on paper. So maybe I'm not wise to be fading them. But I think the Eagles probably will regress a little bit. I think Hurts probably will turn the ball over a bit more. I'm a little worried he's going to get hurt too. He runs the ball up the middle a ton. Obviously, there's a QB sneaked in too. And he plays a style of play for a QB that scares me a little bit. It's a little bit different than like Lamar too. It's more similar to Cam Newton, I think, where he's kind of power running up the gut, which is great. It's extremely effective when he's playing, but I don't know how sustainable it is. So I'm a little worried about him getting banged up. And the Cowboys, I think, are just a stacked team. I love the pickup of Brandon Cooks. I think he's one of the more underrated receivers of the last decade, to be honest. The guy has just produced everywhere he's gone. He's been when he's been a number two wide receiver at places, he's been a complete stud in that role, as opposed to being a number one, where he's been fine too. But as a number two receiver opposite CeeDee Lamb, feed Tony Pollard and hope he stays healthy, I guess. Maybe sign Lenny Fournette to take some goal line carries. I think the Cowboys, I think Dak, you said it. I mean, the regular season has been the problem. So I like the Cowboys to win a lot of games this year. I think them and the Eagles are the two best teams in the NFC, at least for me. So it's going to be between those two. But I'll have Cowboys 1, Eagles 2, Giants 3. I think they're going to regress a lot. I mean, they paid Danny Dimes, and I can't imagine paying Danny Dimes is going to help him make big strides over this offseason, if that makes any sense. I just, I don't know. I don't love the idea of a complacent Danny Dimes. I just don't think he's all that great of a QB to begin with. They have Darren Waller now, who's old, but he's a good player, good pass catcher, but they have no actual wide receivers. I could not tell you who their wide receiver one is. I have no idea. They just Wandale Robinson or Jalen Hyatt, I guess, who they drafted. I'm not a big fan of any of their wideouts, but and I'm not really sure who kind of the number one guy is there outside of Darren Waller, I guess, is kind of your top target. Although I do think Saquon will have a good year. He's playing for a contract, a long-term deal, so I think he'll be incentivized to have quite a season and take on a big workload and produce to get paid, which is pretty tough as a running back these days. And then Commanders, distant fourth place for the Washington Commanders. Similar to Houston, I think they'll be one of the bottom two or three teams in the NFL this year. I have Ron Rivera as my first coach getting fired. I just want to quickly go through Ron Rivera's career since 2016. Coming off Cam Newton's MVP season. So Cam Newton arrives. He wins the division three years in a row with Riverboat Ron, although one of those years was a 7-8 season, I believe, which, I mean, that's not exactly all that great of a division win. But 2015, they go to the Super Bowl. They lose to the Broncos. The following season, 2016, they go 6-10. The next year, 2017, they do go 11-5. This is the best season Riverboat Ron has had since 2016. It was 2017. He went 11-5, but he lost in the wild card round to the Saints. Then he went 7-9, 5-7, gets fired by Carolina, goes to Washington, 7-9 in year one, but he wins the division, and Heineke puts up a fight against Tom Brady for like a quarter. So people say that he did a good job, but he went 7-9. It was a horrible division. Don't really call that a great season, but whatever. The next season, 7-10, third in the division. Next season, 8-8, 8-1, fourth in the division. I don't know how Riverboat Ron still has a job. Cam Newton being a glitch early in his career is the only reason this guy has a career, because he wouldn't be employed other than Cam Newton's three great years, he's been a horrible head coach. He's just been a losing – he's been Jeff Fisher, essentially. Just 7-9, 7-9 every year. That's all he got. That's all Riverboat Ron has to him. And last year, after a game that – a loss that got them eliminated from the playoffs, he thought they were still – he didn't realize that that loss was what caused them to be ineligible for the playoffs. He thought they were – still had one more week to play before they'd be eliminated, and he thought they were still in contention. I think he's a little bit out of it. I think his game has passed him by, in my opinion. So I have him as the first head coach fired. I think they're going to win like two games at best. Sam Howell under center is pretty gross. Terry McLaurin's already hurt. Chase Young has been, at this point in his career, as a number one overall pick, frankly a bust, I think. Yeah, I'm just not a big fan of this team. New owner, I wouldn't be surprised if he wants to get a new head coach in there. If they start slowly, which I expect them to, which brings me to Eric Bieniemy, who is the former offensive coordinator for the Chiefs, who is now the offensive coordinator for the Commanders. There's been a ridiculous amount of talk about this guy becoming a head coach over the last 3 to 4 years, every offseason. People saying it's ridiculous that he hasn't gotten to head. I think it's perfectly set up for Riverboat Ron to get canned in like week five. And you bump Bieniemy up as the interim head coach, see what he can do, prep you for the inevitable first-round QB they're drafting next year, get the offensive mind up, who, you know, coached the young Pat Mahomes, leading your franchise. I just think it makes too much sense for him to be promoted to interim head coach as a little test run before next season. So, yeah, Riverboat Ron, first guy to go, bad season incoming for the Washington Commanders.
Yeah, we'll have to see how that works out. I think Riverboat is going to do just enough to keep his job and just enough to keep the – yeah, just as I said, keep the Commanders out of a top five pick. And 7-9, 7-10, 8-8, that's a pretty big difference from 3-14. Like, you have to do pretty bad to get to that 3-14 level. So I think Riverboat is just going to do just enough. I guess in Carolina he got fired after going 5-7, so he made it. He made it 12 games that year. So we'll have to see how many games Riverboat lasts this year.
I'm not confident, but we'll see. Man, yeah, maybe he'll prove me wrong and survive another year.
So moving on to the NFC North. I don't know when the last time this was, but the Detroit Lions are favored to win the division by Vegas. I think the Green Bay Packers are going to win the division. They're the third best odds, and I think Jordan Love is going to have a great year. He's been sitting behind Aaron Rodgers for the last three seasons, and he's looked great in the preseason, just like Kenny Pickett. I think you had bad words to say about the Green Bay Packers wide receivers, but I blame that on the quarterback. I think Aaron Rodgers last year was kind of checked out, probably wasn't working with these kids in the offseason, probably rolling his eyes at him in practice. So I think now with Jordan, I think these receivers will have a little bit more chemistry with their quarterback. And I think the Packers offense will be pretty good this year. They have two good running backs with Aaron Jones and AJ Dillon. Now they added tight ends in the NFL draft, and the receivers are only going to get better. I do think their coach is a good coach. I forget his name, LaFleur. Even though a lot of people say that the success was predicated on Rodgers, and it might have been, as we've seen with the Patriots and Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. But I think LaFleur is a decent regular season coach. He won a lot of games with Rodgers. So I think the Packers, I think they'll go way over there. 7.5 win total. I think they'll win double-digit games this year. Maybe a playoff game or two, depending on the quarterback matchup that they get in the playoffs. As for the Vikings, I don't have a whole lot to add on the Vikings. I think they'll be standard 500 team. If it was a 16-game schedule, probably 8-8. So 9-8, 8-9, something like that. We'll see how Kirk does. They had a good year last year, and they went out in the first round of the playoffs. And then the Bears. They're fourth favorite to win this division. Not a big fan of the Bears, to be honest. I think last year, reading Twitter, you would think that Justin Fields was in the MVP discussion. They were a terrible team last year. I guess they did have some draft picks that they could improve their team with, add some people in free agency. But, yeah, I'm still not convinced Justin Fields can play quarterback. And I think the Bears, I guess at best, the Bears have a season like the Lions did last year where they finished 8-9 or something, or 8-1. So I don't think the Bears will be – I don't think the Bears will finish with a winning record. I'm not buying into the hype with Justin Fields, and I don't think he's a very good quarterback, and I'm not exactly convinced that he can throw the ball down the field. And as for the Lions, I do think they'll win a lot of games. I'll say they win 10 games. I think their offense is pretty good. I think Jared Goff, you can do a lot worse at quarterback than Jared Goff, as I said in our NFL draft preview. This year, tough opening game at Kansas City. You wouldn't fancy them to win that game, but maybe the Super Bowl hangover, they can win that one. And then looking at the schedule, I mean, home games against Seattle, Atlanta, Carolina, Las Vegas, Chicago, Denver. They have a lot of winnable home games. They play the NFC South this year, it looks like. A lot of winnable games there. Playing a third, or I guess maybe a second place schedule. I'm not sure where they came in last year. Maybe a second or third place schedule. So I'll give the Lions 10 wins this year, 10-7. But I'll go with the Packers to win the division either at 10-7 with a tiebreaker or 11-6. And I'll say both teams make the playoffs. And I'm not expecting much from the Bears this year in top 5 pick range. Definitely top 10 pick, and Vikings will go somewhere around 500 if they make the playoffs, lose first round. That's probably the Vikings ceiling.
Yeah, I actually have my final standings for this division are Vikings 1, Bears 2, Lions 3, Packers 4th. Vikings, I just think I'm expecting a huge step head season for Kirk Cousins. I don't really see them running the ball a whole lot. I don't see them stopping too many teams. But I do think this division is filled with a lot of inexperience, a lot of maybe overhyped expectations on young or not-so-great quarterbacks. And I think just the Vikings, Kirk Cousins, Justin Jefferson connection with Kevin O'Connell at head coach, it's proven to succeed in the regular season already. Whereas the rest of these teams, whatever they're clicking, we haven't really seen it work just yet in the regular season. So I think the Vikings win enough games to win this division again, despite the fact that their defense is bad. They did draft Jordan Addison in the first round, so take the air raid to another level, I guess. Adam Thielen was pretty washed last season, so that's probably an upgrade. And maybe KJ Osborne takes on a bigger role, and they traded for Hockenson, who I'm not the biggest fan of Hockenson, but he did look really good at the end of last year. So I just think this offense has a lot of playmakers and it will make up for the lack of talent they have on defense. And I think they'll win a lot of high-scoring games again this season. I think Kirk will put in a good regular season performance and get paid once more, because contract year Kirk is, as we've seen in past years, is a pretty great regular season QB as long as you keep him away from primetime. And then second, I have the Bears. I know you're a non-believer in the Chicago Bears, and it is hard for me to buy in to this team, but I think they're going to have a big season. I love the addition of DJ Moore. I don't think he's like a Diggs or a Stephon Diggs-level receiver. I do think he's a significant upgrade over what they were rolling out last year. Justin Fields, I've always been a big believer and a big fan of his. I think his throwing ability is there. I mean, the guy has a cannon for an arm, and we saw him pass at an elite level. I mean, he was more of a passer than a runner at Ohio State, and coming out, now he's considered all he can do is run. So I really think that he has that in there. They just, when you're rolling out N'Keal Harry and Darnell Mooney as your top two passing game options, it's pretty hard to complete passes in this league. They also spent a lot of money on defense. They signed Tremaine Edmonds and TJ Edwards, who Tremaine Edmonds was the starting middle linebacker for the Bills for the last 5 years. I think he made like 2 Pro Bowls. He's been a big-time playoff performer. He's been great against the Patriots in the past. Greatest sub in the run. And TJ Edwards started for the Eagles in the Super Bowl last year and started every game for that defense, which is one of the best in the league. So I think kind of adding those guys with big game experience and kind of can be leaders on that defense, because as bad as their defense was last year, they do have some young talent and some good players in the secondary. I don't know. I just think now that if you can clean up the run defense a bit, which it kind of feels like they're working towards, and get some leaders in there that can kind of show the young guys the way, I think they'll take another step. And I just think the Bears will be a solid team this year. I think Justin Fields will play at a really high level as long as he can stay healthy. And I think the passing game will take a huge leap with the addition of finally a real NFL starting caliber wide receiver for Fields. So, and third, I have the Lions. which I mean, I wanted to fade the Lions even harder, but they do have a solid – they have a solid team. I can't – I have them going 8-9, which is lower than expectation, I think, for a lot of people. But I think it's a fine spot to put them in, and I kind of wish I put them lower, but whatever. I'll stick with 8-9. Jared Goff back under center. Amon-Ra St. Brown, number one receiver on the outside. Bring back a lot of the same guys they added on defense. They signed an Eagles safety to be their number one corner, which I don't love. And he got hurt early in camp. I think he hurt his knee. Don't love that. But Lions fans seem to be excited about it. The big offseason moves they made really were swapping their two running backs for two new running backs, which maybe it's a slight upgrade. Dave Montgomery and Jahmyr Gibbs over Jamal Williams and DeAndre Swift. Maybe you have an upgrade there in your little running back duo, but running back is the most replaceable, the least important position on the field, I think, pretty inarguably. A lot of people would agree on that. And when you're replacing replacement-level talent with maybe slightly better than replacement-level talent at the most irrelevant position on the field, I don't think that makes too much of an impact. So I don't really know why that was the focus of our offseason. Jared Goff did have a great year last year, objectively. He played really well, had good numbers, won a decent amount of games, had some nice fourth quarter performances, but I just see regression coming. I don't really think – I think Amon-Ra is massively overrated as a receiver. When talked about in the same breath as guys like Garrett Wilson and Chris Olave and Devontae Smith, I don't think he's on that level. I think he's more of a – he reminds me of Jarvis Landry early in his career, catch a lot of passes, get a decent amount of yards, don't score a lot of touchdowns, and get banged up playing that style of football, just running over the middle over and over again. And he is strictly a slot receiver. This guy can't get open on the outside. He can't get open downfield. He runs over the middle, slot receiver. He's not on the Cooper Kupp type level, and I'm not sure he's even on the Deebo Samuel type level. So I think he's kind of overrated as a number one pass catcher. And they drafted Sam Laporta in the second round as a tight end, who's with Jamison Williams suspended and hurt and all that. He's probably their number two option. I have no idea who their number two pass catching option is. I guess Jahmyr Gibbs, maybe the running back. So I don't know. I just don't think this offense is going to, I don't think there's too much room to take a step forward. I think it can only really get worse for the passing game, and maybe the running game gets slightly better, but I don't think that's going to really make up for too much. And I don't really think the defense made massive steps either this season. And then my last thing with the Lions is Dan Campbell, head coach, great story, very likable guy. Players seem to love playing for him. The fans love him, whatever. I'm not sure this guy, when it comes down to X's and O's, has what it takes. At a certain point, I kind of want my coach to, I don't know, be able to run some, like Bill Belichick, football genius, Sean McVay, football genius. Like, I don't know, like these – I'm not sure Dan Campbell is what I would call a football genius. I think he's a great people, a great leader of men. But I look at guys like Mike Tomlin, who I would put in that category. Mike Tomlin is a elite X's and O's coach as well as that. That's why he's had success. So I just don't know if Dan Campbell has what it takes to kind of be the leader of a team that's going to finish near the top of the NFC. So I'm fading the Lions this year. And plus, it's the Detroit Lions. I mean, come on. It's one of the biggest loser franchises in the history of sports. It's the most Lions thing ever after all this hype and after all this buildup to just completely choke this. So I'm fading the Lions and then the Packers. I don't have a ton to add on the Packers. I don't think Jordan Love is all that great, or we would have seen the Packers trade Aaron Rodgers earlier on when he was first kind of seemed like he was wanting out. The receiver room, like I said, not a fan of it. I do like the kid they drafted. Jaden Reed out of Michigan State. I think he's going to be a good player, but as a rookie, I'm not sure he's going to be a number one target for Jordan Love, and I think the other two guys are mediocre, if not worse than mediocre. And they drafted a tight end too, who rookie tight ends historically not really impact players. So yeah, not big on the Packers. Defense is not that great. And the quarterback, I don't think they have it in Jordan Love. So, yeah, that's my takes on the NFC North. Vikings, Bears, Lions, then Packers.
Yeah, we'll add on the Lions. Last year, they were popular for running fake punts and like trick plays and stuff like that. And it's easy to do that with a losing record and you're 4-8 and 5-9 and running these trick plays. I guess if they actually do get good and they're in like division races and playing these games that actually matter, it's going to be a lot harder to run these trick plays and fake punts. It's a lot easier to do it when you're 3-6 than it is when you're 9-7, 8-5, that type of thing. So I'm going to be keeping an eye on that. And opening night, whole country watching, going to be a lot harder to run, you know, fake punts. Yeah, and it's going to blow up a lot in your face if you're in playing meaningful games and you're running these trick plays that aren't working. If you run it when you're 3-7, it doesn't work. Nobody really talks about it. So, yeah, I want to see how Dan Campbell coaches this year. It's a lot easier to coach and got nothing to lose when you're not very good. But when you actually have expectations, I think that'll be a big test for Dan Campbell.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
And then moving on to the NFC South, I don't have much to say about this. I think the Saints run away with this division. I think they clearly are the best quarterback in this division, and it's nice to see Derek Carr freed from the Raiders. I think the Raiders are holding him back for a very long time. And I think a good situation in New Orleans. They have some decent players. They can good weapons with Chris Olave, decent running game. And, yeah, I don't have much to add. I'm not – Falcons, I guess they have a lot of young offensive talent with – just drafting Bijan and Drake London, but it's going to take a lot for the Falcons to get me to watch them this year, and I can't exactly say I know much about Falcons, Panthers, or the Buccaneers rosters, but Panthers, rookie quarterback, inexperienced head coach, will be a little bit better than Indianapolis, but probably a similar type of thing. I don't think Bryce Young will be taken to the Panthers to the playoffs or anything. And then with the Buccaneers, yeah, I think now Tom's gone. I think this team probably lacks a little bit of identity. Baker coming in a quarterback, probably not. Baker, last time we saw Baker in the NFL, wasn't great. So this is probably Baker's last chance. I guess it'll make him motivated. But, yeah, I got the Saints running away with this division in a landslide. I think they clearly have the best quarterback in this division, Derek Carr. And I guess depending on who they face, maybe they'll play a team from – yeah, I guess they'll probably play the best. Probably Eagles or the Cowboys in the playoffs if they come in fourth fourth overall. So, yeah, I'm not sure how many playoff games the Saints will be winning, but I think Derek Carr will definitely win them 10-11 games, and yeah, have the Saints running away with this division.
Yeah, I have the Tampa Bay Buccaneers winning this division. I'm not a fan of – I mean, I want to say that I think this is probably the worst division in football. I think all four teams are below average, if not bad teams. But I do have the Buccaneers winning with around a .500 record. And I have the other three teams with some pretty bad losing records. I think Tampa, my argument for Tampa is that this roster is still very similar to the team that won the Super Bowl a few years ago. And they still have a lot of, there is a decent amount of talent on this roster on offense. Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, a couple guys in the O-line, all returning former, if not current, Pro Bowl caliber players who were on that Super Bowl team. On defense, Vita Vea, Devin White, Lavonte David, Shaq Barrett, Antoine Winfield, Carlton Davis, Jamel Dean. Those guys were all on the Super Bowl team. A lot of those guys are still studs. Lavonte David's best days are probably behind them, but the rest of those guys are still very, very good NFL players. I think this defense is going to be a lot better than what people maybe will give them credit for because people just aren't really paying attention to the Bucs. But Baker Mayfield also, I agree, not a great quarterback. Last time we saw him out, he was bad. But he's gone 11-5 in this league. He's made playoffs. He still has arm talent. He has the swagger. I think he could win this locker room over, and I think he could win some games. Geno style, wrote him off, and he ain't right back. I like Baker to win this division with a .500 record. I don't think he's going to go 14-3, but – this team can win some games for sure, I think. They have a lot of good vets. Some nice up-and-coming young talent, too. Rookie Trey Palmer is listed as a starting wide receiver on the team. He was another preseason All-Star, but apparently this guy has burners. He catches a lot of jump balls, too. Mike Evans and Chris Godwin are big fans of his. So I think look for Trey Palmer to make some plays on this team, and Sean Tucker, undrafted rookie running back, getting first-team reps the last couple of weeks in practice. I'm not a big believer in their current starting running back, Rashad White. He was a bit of a disappointment last year. Good combine guy, but not a good actual on-field player from what I saw. So I think Sean Tucker wins that job. That guy's a complete stud. I'm a huge fan of his at Syracuse. I think this team is a good mix of vets, young guys, and some people trying to prove some people wrong, some chips on their shoulder. Maybe show that, they're more than just Brady and Baker trying to show that he can still cut it in this league. So, yeah, I like the Bucs to win this division. And on the Saints, I mean, Derek Carr, I think this is going to be very similar to Russell Wilson last year in Denver. You have a corny, overrated quarterback. This guy, Derek Carr, he's probably less talented than Russ, and I'm not a Russ believer whatsoever. But similar to Russ, takes bad sacks. Really, he's afraid to push the ball downfield from what I've seen. He loves to throw the ball away when he doesn't need to, but he also takes bad sacks. It's a weird combo. Not a huge fan of it. In crunch time, I've never seen this guy make a play in a game that actually truly matters in the fourth quarter. I don't see him as a leader. He's a cornball. He's just corny. He has bad press conferences where he talks about, I don't even know. It's just I'm not a big Derek Carr fan. I have huge Russell Wilson vibes from his personality. And I don't think it's going to work in a new team. I also think Dennis Allen is a pretty bad head coach of the Saints. I don't really know how that guy still has a job. He was kind of promoted in the way an interim head coach gets promoted, but he still has the job somehow when Sean Payton left. He just has an ugly offense, mediocre defense, don't win a ton of games. The vibes around the team don't seem all that great. And like last year, he was trying to use Alvin Kamara as a pounder up the middle. Wasn't really throwing him too many passes. Trying to throw Taysom Hill under center sometimes. It was just gross. It was gross football. I wasn't a big fan of it. I don't really see them improving much this year with Derek Carr under center because I just don't think Derek Carr is a very good QB, and I don't think he's a very good leader. And then I have the Falcons, which I've said it multiple times in this podcast, mostly around draft episodes because they seem to find a way to fail every single year at the draft, despite Twitter thinking that they're succeeding by just drafting offensive skill position players. And they did it again by drafting Bijan, who, great running back, no doubt about it, but like, why are we drafting a running back when Desmond Ridder's our QB1? I think the Falcons are a bad franchise, going to lose a lot of football games, in my opinion. Desmond Ridder is not that guy. And the Kyle Pitts, Drake London thing, I don't see it. I'm not a big fan of either of those guys, but Drake London is probably a better ball player than Kyle Pitts at this point, who has been just completely massively overrated. And I will never understand the reasoning behind taking a tight end in the top five. It's just gross. And then Panthers in last, rookie QB. I'm rooting for Bryce Young. I'm a fan of his, but they're giving that guy one of the worst receiver rooms in the league with Adam Thielen and Terrence Marshall. It's just a lot of bad players. And Mingo out of Ole Miss, who I'm not a big fan of. I think Bryce Young is kind of getting put in a position to fail. So I'm rooting for Bryce Young, but I'm not sure he's being set up to succeed in year one, especially as an undersized guy on this team, because it's not very good. But we'll see. I hope he proves me wrong, because I would love to see Bryce Young win some football games in the NFL.
Yeah, and then I guess on to our last division, the NFC West. I guess I'll go with the 49ers to win it by default, but I'm not a big 49ers fan. I don't think – I guess they have a loaded roster, but I think there's got to be major question marks asked about trading three first-round picks or whatever it was to acquire Trey Lance, then trading him for a fourth-round pick 2 years later. I think the kid's getting a little bit of a bad rep, and yeah, he's that first year learning under Jimmy Garoppolo. Second year, breaks his leg, and now third year, we just dump him for a fourth-round pick. I'm not exactly sure I'm the biggest fan of that. And starting the year with Brock Purdy at quarterback, I still have major question marks over Brock Purdy. Last year, everyone went wild for Brock Purdy, but he, in the biggest game of the season at the Eagles in the NFC Championship game, he didn't exactly finish the game. And I guess last year they beat the Cowboys in a playoff game only because Dak threw them the ball a few times. So I'm not exactly a big fan of Brock Purdy, and I think to win a Super Bowl, you need to have a quarterback with elite talent, and I don't think Brock Purdy has elite talent, so I think the 49ers, I guess they have a great reputation for winning a lot of these games, and I guess they've been to the conference championship game a few times in the last few years, but I don't think they're winning anything anytime soon, and they can keep going to these conference championship games, but they're not doing anything with Brock Purdy at quarterback. So I wouldn't be surprised if they're looking for a quarterback in the near future. I don't think Brock Purdy's the guy long term. I don't even know who their backup is anymore. Oh, Sam Darnold's now their backup. So I guess I can't imagine going to Sam Darnold as your backup. I don't think Sam Darnold's taking you to the NFC Championship game. So, yeah, last year, Brock Purdy didn't exactly win me over like he did everybody else. I think a lot of players could have done well in that system. So, yeah, I think Brock Purdy. Now this year he's got to play. I guess he's got to play 20 games. If the 49ers have Super Bowl expectations, last year only played – He couldn't really finish 12 games or whatever it was. I don't know when he came in exactly. Maybe week 7, 8. I didn't do my research. But now he's got to play from start to finish, from September to January. We'll see how he does. I think he was the last pick in the draft for a reason. And I think that'll come out in the next few years. So, unfortunately for me, the rest of these teams in this division are not very good. I'm not a big fan of the Seahawks either. I guess Geno last year did have a decent season. So, maybe he's a little bit better than I'm giving him credit for. They drafted a receiver in the first round in Jackson Smith and Jigba. So maybe their offense will be a little bit better than last year, but I don't see the Seahawks going anywhere anytime soon, I guess. They made the playoffs last year as a 7th seed. Maybe they can do it again, but I don't think they're going to be winning many playoff games, especially if they're going on the road to play them. So maybe if they get a team at home and they get hot, they'll win a round or two, but similar to the Steelers. But, yeah, I don't see this team winning any road playoff games, so... The Rams, Vegas doesn't really like the Rams this year, so we'll see how they do. Matthew Stafford was injured last year, so he pretty much had a whole year off. So we'll see if he comes back, or if he's just kind of, if last year was kind of end of his career foreshadowing. So that could definitely be a possibility. But I think out of the Rams finishing second in the division, I'll say they have better quarterback than the Seahawks and a better coach than the Seahawks. Last year, Super Bowl hangover definitely got to them, and we'll see how they respond this year. And then as for the Cardinals, I think last place is a good bet. And, yeah, as we've said, they'll have the top two picks in the draft next year. But I guess they have the 49ers by default winning a lot of games, but come the playoffs, I think they'll lose to an NFC East team.
Yeah, my picks here are too different than yours. I have the 49ers winning the division. I think they're – roster-wise, completely stacked defense and offense. I love the group of weapons they have on offense with Kittle and CMC and Ayuk and Debo. I mean, Brock Purdy shouldn't have to be much more than a game manager to win a lot of regular season games. So I think they'll win a lot of games and kind of cruise to first place probably in this division, as long as Brock doesn't completely suck. I don't know. I'm rooting for Brock. I don't think he's a very special talent or anything under center, but and I really don't see him making it out of the NFC into the Super Bowl. But the current state of the NFC, I don't think it will take too much. Hypothetically speaking, you really just got to get past Jalen Hurts and Dak, and those two could take one of those could. One of them could take the other out, so you only have to get by one of them, depending on what the playoff scenario is. There's definitely a path for Brock to make it to the Super Bowl, which is kind of ridiculous, but it's the truth. I think you really only have to win one game against a good team if things break your way. And then I have the Rams in second in this division, which is probably a surprise. Vegas hates the Rams this year. I'm much higher on the Rams. I have them at 9-8 record. I do think this Rams season could go to probably the widest range of outcomes for any team. I think in one scenario, Matt Stafford is back to what he was 2 years ago. Cooper Kupp is healthy. The offensive line gets better. McVay's a guru calling up great players and whatnot. And the defense – the young guys they have on defense kind of take a step forward and make some plays, and they have a good season, maybe sneak into a wild card spot in the weak conference, and maybe even win a playoff game. And then the other flip side of things, I can 100% see a scenario where Stetson Bennett is under center to finish this season off for the LA Rams if Matt Stafford is just completely toast and that elbow is done. Big wide range of outcomes here. If they went 2-15, like, that wouldn't completely shock me if you told me Matt Stafford got hurt again or whatever, hit Peyton Manning, late career Peyton Manning elbow. And McVay also, I will say, slight concern here. McVay, I believe, had his first kid this offseason, something like that. Has debated retiring in the past to start a family or whatever, spend more time with his family. So if McVay is checked out here, I think the Rams could be in trouble, and that wouldn't shock me, but we'll see. And third, I have the Seahawks. Very similar record to the Rams. I think they're going to be within a game of each other is my pick. I think a lot of regression is coming. I will say Geno really just has to be game manager to make that offense work, but they have a really tough schedule. They play a lot of good teams on the road, so I think that's going to kind of screw them over. But I do like the Seahawks. Like, I like Pete Carroll, and I like their offense. I think they have a lot of good weapons. And Geno's fun to root for, but it's hard for me to put a lot of faith in Geno against some legit top-level QBs that he's going to go up against and some legit good teams on the road and good defenses that he'll have to face. I'm kind of fading the Seahawks, I guess. I have them slightly better than 500 at best this year. And then distant fourth, the Arizona Cardinals, like you said, bottom two team. This season probably, and we'll probably end up with the top two or two of the top three picks.
All right, I guess that brings us to our playoff predictions. It's hard to map out 1-7 each individual records and stuff. So I'm just going to go with the each championship game. I'll start with the NFC. I'm going to go with the Eagles to beat the Cowboys. I guess it'll be a road game for the Eagles because I picked the Cowboys in the division. Main reason for the Eagles being the Cowboys after picking the Cowboys win the division is Dak. I think Dak in the playoffs has proven he's not that guy. Definitely, I don't have his exact record up, but it's got to be like 2-5 or something, or 2-6, or 3-5, or 3-6. It's definitely a losing record. And last year, he definitely cost him the game against the 49ers, and he cost him the game against the 49ers the year before that. So I don't think Dak's an elite quarterback. In the playoffs, I'm going to go with the Eagles. Last year, definitely have built up playoff experience with their new coach Sirianni. So, I like the Eagles to go back to the Super Bowl, and I think they'll be facing the Kansas City Chiefs. I'm pretty boring, but I'm gonna go with the Super Bowl rematch. I think the Chiefs will beat the Bengals, even though I had the Steelers win the division. I think Joe Burrow has proven in the playoffs. I think he brought up Jimmy G's record winning percentage is 71. That'll definitely go down this year. But Joe Burrow's playoff percentage record's got to be pretty high for a quarterback. So I'm going to go with Joe Burrow to win a few playoff games. But I think Patrick Mahomes just has a little bit too much for him in the AFC Championship game, which will probably be, I guess, the last, 5 years it's been at Arrowhead or something. I'll say the last, I'll make it 6 years and home field advantage. Similar type of game as last year where the Chiefs just edged it. So, but Super Bowl rematch, I'll go with I think the Eagles got their revenge. Pretty boring stack team, but I think Jalen Hurts gets it done. I think the Eagles will kind of cash in on their recent success of trades and draft picks. And, yeah, I'll have the Eagles over the Chiefs. And I guess, yeah, Jets are a little bit hard for me to handicap in the playoffs with Aaron Rodgers. You haven't seen the Jets in the playoffs in a while. So I can't really have any confidence to say the Jets are going to, you know, knock off the Chiefs, Bills, or Bengals in the playoffs. So I'll go with the Eagles. Eagles with the Jets, and yeah, as I said, Brock Purdy, not going to get it done. I actually have the Cowboys, hopefully, hypothetically, beating the 49ers in a rematch of the last 2 years, and I'll go with the Cowboys to beat the 49ers. And I think in the NFC playoffs, we'll see Brock Purdy's ceiling hit.
Yeah, my bracket, I have, I guess, the conference championship games. I have Bills versus Bengals in Cincinnati, and I have Eagles at Cowboys, and I actually forgot to add this when I was talking about the Cowboys. Another reason why I like Dak and the Cowboys this year, I'm a big fan of Jerry Jones acquiring Trey Lance for a fourth round pick. Not because I think Trey Lance is good. If you can't beat out Sam Darnold, I think you're. If you can't beat out Sam Darnold, I don't think you got it. But I like the move because I think it might give light of fire under Dak, I guess you could say, which kind of feels like Dak has needed the last couple of years where he's kind of just collapsed in the playoffs and not really been, like you said, he hasn't been that guy. So I think we see a turn in Dak's career this year. a bit of a turning point. And I think at home against Philly, massive rivalry game in the NFC Championship. That'll be the primetime game for sure. Like every game they play in the playoffs, it's the Dallas Cowboys. It's just going to be – I think Dak just shows up under the lights, and I think he makes the Super Bowl. I think he beats the Eagles. Big upset, at least I guess if it's in Dallas, maybe not a big upset, but probably an upset to most people. Dak making a Super Bowl. And then in the AFC, I'll take Josh Allen to beat Joe Burrow in Cincinnati. I think this is Josh Allen's year. Might be a last dance type season with Diggs. Diggs, some rumors in this offseason that maybe he kind of wants out of Buffalo. I don't think it has anything to do with the team. The team's had a lot of success over the last few years. I don't think it has anything to do with him and Allen. He's had the best years of his career with Allen. I'm guessing it's a money, New York State tax, living in Buffalo issue more than anything for Diggs. But I like I don't know. I'm a big Josh Allen fan, so I'm biased here. But, yeah, give me a Josh Allen versus Dak Prescott Super Bowl, and I'll have the Bills beating Dak Prescott and the Cowboys in the Super Bowl for their first ever championship, I believe. And Josh Allen gets his first ring.
So I guess we'll quickly finish out with some season awards. I'll just go down the list here, starting with the MVP. I got my Super Bowl winner with the Eagles. I'm going to go with Jalen Hurts to win MVP. I think Patrick Mahomes will see a little bit of voter fatigue. And I think Jalen Hurts, I guess he just fell off in the last few games last year. He was definitely in the conversation, and Pat Mahomes kind of went off. But I'll say Jalen Hurts gets MVP this year. For Offensive Player of the Year, I'm going to go a little bit outside the box and say CeeDee Lamb is going to get an Offensive Player of the Year. He's plus 3,500. He's the 10th non-quarterback listed in the odds. I think if you look at CeeDee Lamb's stats, he's had each year in the league, he's had more yards and touchdowns as the years go on. I think last year he had like 1,300 yards. So I'm going to think of a 1,500 yards for CeeDee Lamb this year, over 10 touchdowns. Maybe Brandon Cooks will take a little bit of the coverage away from him. So I think Dak to CeeDee in the regular season will be a lethal combination. So I'll go with CeeDee to win. Offensive Player of the Year. As for Defensive Player of the Year, I'm going to go with Quinn Williams on the Jets. I think last year he had 12 sacks, led him to a big contract, and I think he's just overall a stud. So I'm going to go with Quinn Williams. I think he's looked good in Hard Knocks in the preseason. Teammates talking highly of him. So I'm going to go with Quinn Williams to win Defensive Player of the Year. And then for Defensive Rookie of the Year, I'm going to stick with the Hard Knocks thing. I'm going to go with Will McDonald. From the Jets. I think, I guess who knows really who could win Defensive Player of the Year. I don't think you could probably find some good value in a lot of these odds. I'm going to go with Will McDonald. I think the interesting story about him was that the Patriots traded the draft pick to the Steelers so that they took the offensive tackle that the Jets might have wanted to help protect Aaron Rodgers. Their offensive line a little shaky. And after that pick, the Jets went in a different direction, took Will McDonald. So we'll see if this guy's if this guy's good. That'll make for a pretty interesting storyline. And he's looked good in preseason, looked good in Hard Knocks, and his coaches have been talking him up. So I'm gonna go with Will McDonald to win Defensive Rookie of the Year, and then for Offensive Rookie of the Year, I'm gonna go with Chalk. I'm gonna go with Bijan. I think the only thing that can stop Bijan is injuries. I don't see a whole lot of success for these quarterbacks. I guess if any of these quarterbacks somehow make the playoffs, they should deserve to win the award. But yeah, I don't think you can give a Rookie of the Year award to a quarterback who goes 5-12 or 6-11. And as we said in the podcast, we weren't really high on some of these players. So I'm going to go with, I think Bijan's even decent value at plus 300. But yeah, I think the only thing that can stop him is an injury. And then for my coach of the year, I'm going to go with Mike Tomlin. I think he's like 7th or 8th favorite. And I think this will be a nice legacy achievement award for Mike Tomlin. He's famously never had a losing season. And I think if he wins the hardest division in football, the NFC North, or up there with the AFC East, AFC North. And then with a second-year quarterback, if he wins the division with the worst quarterback in the division, then I think that'd be a pretty impressive accomplishment for Mike Tomlin. I think last year he was flirting with the losing record, but they just ended up winning it. You know, just ended up creeping over 500 at the end. So I mean, they might have finished 8-8-1 or something. I'm not even sure, but it wasn't a losing record. And now the 17th game each year, he could have a losing record going 8-9. So I'm going to go with Mike Tomlin getting – he's number one Coach of the Year awards. If you look through the years, kind of random, given out to, like, random coaches. So it's kind of hard to predict. But I think Mike Tomlin, one of the best coaches in the recent – in this generation, I guess, behind – if you get rid of Bill Belichick, he's kind of – they're right up there in the conversation with the rest of the coaches. So I think Mike Tomlin gets his first Coach of the Year award by winning the AFC North this year.
Yeah, my MVP pick, I got Aaron Rodgers, who's plus 1,600, which is seventh best odds of any player. And my reasoning behind Rodgers, I think narrative is a big thing when it comes to these awards and the voters. And I don't think narrative gets much better than Aaron Rodgers going to a new team at age 40 after a year when everyone kind of – I guess he's getting written off as an elite QB. And I already talked about why I think he'll be good, so I don't need to get back into that. But I just think the narrative around Aaron Rodgers kind of going to – and also plus the New York City market. And I just think it sets up really nicely for Aaron Rodgers to stat pad, win enough games, and, you know, it's just going to be a lot of great great feature stories coming out of New York this year about Aaron Rodgers during the regular season. So I think he's my MVP pick as long as he can win enough games to make playoffs probably have to win the division to win MVP, which winning that division I think is going to be an accomplishment in itself. I think it's a good division. So, yeah, I like Rodgers for MVP. Offensive player of the year. I'm going to also go with the Dallas Cowboy, but I'm going with a different Dallas Cowboy. I'm going with Tony Pollard, who I also have at plus 3,500. Zeke Elliott's gone. They've yet to replace him with anyone besides 5'6" rookie running back Deuce Vaughn, generous 5'6" maybe. I think Tony Pollard is probably going to get fed the ball this season. Can he handle it? That's the biggest question mark. Not completely sold he can, but at plus 3,500, I think that's pretty good value to take a risk on that because he's a great player. He's a big play machine, can catch the ball, can run the ball pretty much any way you need him to. So I think Tony Pollard's going to have a big year, and I think the Cowboys are going to be really good. I think they play a lot of bad teams, plenty of opportunity for him to stat pad and run up the numbers on a good team, which is going to be in prime time a ton. I think Tony Pollard just kind of isn't a good situation for him to win off of the player of the year. With Garrett Wilson as kind of the second guy I wrote down, just because I think this Aaron Rodgers stat pad coming would be the Aaron Rodgers MVP, Garrett Wilson offensive player of the year, kind of plays into that narrative. Defensive player of the year, I have a bit of a sleeper. I tried to go away from chalk as much as I could here, and I went with Joey Bosa from the Chargers. He's plus 4,500. He's way down there on the list of odds. And former first overall pick, I think. He was first overall pick. He's been in the league like 7 years or something, six years, whatever. He's kind of hovered around like the 10-11 sack mark in pretty much all of his good years. And then last season, he got injured, came back, and didn't really do anything. He was banged up and just, yeah, had a tough season. But this year, couple of interesting nuggets on Joey Bosa, which I think make him a really great value where he's placed in the odds. So last season he played at 250 pounds compared to what he was at Ohio State in his first couple of years when he had like 12-ish sacks, I think, his first 2 years. Both years he was at 280 pounds. So last season he was a significantly lighter player, which, I mean, I think – probably heavily impacts kind of the style of play you have on the defensive line. This offseason, he said that he's eating 5,000 calories per day and that eating is not enjoyable these days. It's just part of the job. So he's just trying to pack the pounds back on, get big again, get back to kind of where he was at in his prime, which he's still a pretty young guy. So it's not like he's completely washed up or anything, in my opinion, at least. As long as you can stay healthy. And then the Chargers also added Khalil Mack, who's going to be opposite him this year, which I think will probably open some stuff up for him in terms of
pass rush. Maybe he can get some more sacks than he has in the past. Snap out a little bit. And for an incredibly talented player, he's only 28 years old. Clearly a lot more focused than he has been in past off seasons. I don't think it's too much of a reach for to say that he can make a 7-sack jump this season and finish with 18, 19 sacks and win Defensive Player of the Year. That wouldn't shock me at all. So I think Joey Bosa is a great value, plus 4,500. And plus, I think if Chargers make playoffs and win a lot of games, that helps him out too. Offensive Rookie of the Year. Tried to stay away from chalk again here, so I'm not going to go Bijan. I'll say Zay Flowers for the Ravens, the first-round wide receiver out of BC, plus 1,800. Kind of talked about the Ravens kind of going to an air raid type offense this season, fast-paced, high-flying. And Zay Jones should be a big benefactor of that. Like we said, he kind of looked like Tyreek Hill in the preseason game that we saw the highlights from. I think him – I mean, Mark Andrews is going to get targets. Odell Beckham will get targets, whatever. But I think Zay Flowers can definitely – I don't think it's too much of a reach to say that he could become the wide receiver one in that offense. During this season, we've seen plenty of rookie wide receivers do it the past couple of years. So I don't think it's a stretch to say that that's possible. And I think if that happens and they have a great year and the Falcons aren't as great and, you know, T. Algieri or whatever on the Falcons steal some touchdowns from Bijan, maybe it's not too much of a reach to say that Zay Flowers plus 1,800 is good value there to win Offensive Rookie of the Year. And Defensive Rookie of the Year, didn't know where I was going here. I went with Jalen Carter for the Eagles. He's going to start, I believe, from day one. Fell in the draft due to character concerns, I think. But he's been called the next Aaron Donald by teammates in practice. That catches my eye. I like that. Stud in college. Can rush the passer. Can stop the run. He's going to play on a great defense, on a great team. So I think if he plays a key role on the best team in the NFC this year, and gets a bunch of sacks, gets a lot of tackles for loss, I think he'll definitely be – I mean, he has the second-best odds for Defensive Rookie of the Year, so this is not a hot take by any means. Pretty chalk. But, yeah, I like Jalen Carter to win that award. And then my Coach of the Year, I have Matt Eberflus of the Chicago Bears. I think turning a team from worst in the league to a playoff contender wild card spot, which is where I have them. Would be pretty impressive and enough to get him, earn him that award. Like I said, I think the Bears made a lot of strides this offseason roster wise, so I don't think that's completely out of question. In his second year as a head coach, for him and the team to take a big step, win enough games, for him to snag that award. I feel like some guys that have been in a similar position to him, young coaches on teams that not a lot of people are expecting to win games, but it's definitely the offseason moves indicate that they are looking to win some games this season. So I think that's kind of been the demographic that's been targeted in the past, and I can see it happening again with Matt Eberflus as my Coach of the Year. And those are all my award picks.
All right, I think that's all we got.
All right, thanks for listening. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at @biased_opinion. We'll tweet when we have a new episode. Thanks for listening and tune in next time.